lot of the guests that appear on the podcast are, you might call them experts or specialists within the field. So I'm really excited when I get a chance to talk to someone like you who's on the other side of the table, which is, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know this much about what you're doing, but you're basically in huge startup mode with a company that is certainly pivoting. Am I getting that correct as well?
Pivoting, how so?
Well, and this is based only looking on your LinkedIn profile. .com Therapy is now Teleteachers?
No.
Oh, talk to me about that. Okay. So now I'm really excited because we've got Emily Smith on, and she's, I'm going to call you a serial entrepreneur because based on what I'm saying, you've got a lot of balls in the air, not the least of which is growing a brand from scratch and maybe supporting a brand that's already been in the market for a while at the same time. So I'm really excited to talk to you about the challenges you're facing when it comes to that, not only getting yourself out there, because as an entrepreneur, your personal brand is the first thing that walks into a room when you talk to anybody regarding venture capital, when you're talking to anybody about perhaps joining your team. Your reputation literally, undoubtedly, is the thing that gets those doors to open at least even a little bit for you. Am I guessing correctly there?
Absolutely.
Well, cool. .com Therapy. What is .com Therapy? Is it still going? Are you still growing that?
Great question. So I left .com Therapy about 6 months ago after 4.5 years of starting that company from scratch. I co-founded that company, grew it very organically, and you know, it was the thrill of a lifetime. I never imagined starting a company at age 25 and for it to grow so quickly. And ultimately, you know, as a company grows and scales, there is a difference of vision that's possible between co-founders.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, that was the beautiful opportunity for me to, beautiful and challenging opportunity for me to say what is best for .com Therapy and what is best for me personally and for my personal brand.
Oh my Lord, do you hear what she's saying? She's saying that just because she was successful one place, that may not have been successful for her personally. Now, one of the drinking games we like to play on this podcast is every time I say, know who you are so you can be it, you know, you drink. So if you're playing out there, by all means, kick back that shot glass. But this is Emily Smith telling me right now that, after doing this, I assessed who I am, realized who I am. What I was doing was not completely aligned with who I am. Therefore, and at any time you can step in and correct me, but therefore, I stepped off that train to hop on a different one that feels much more aligned with who you actually are. Am I getting that right?
Absolutely. You know, in my 20s, I didn't necessarily know myself well, which I think is the story of every person that age. And .com Therapy provided me such a wonderful environment to discover that the things that motivate me are challenge and adventure and, you know, never having any boundaries as far as, you know, the opportunities that I could pursue. And I had a vision for where I wanted to take therapy delivery. And, you know, in the process of leaving that company, I really understood how important it was for me to focus on people and valuing the team that will ultimately build the vision of what Teleteachers, what I hope it becomes. So there was certainly reflection in that.
Right. So .com Therapy and Teleteachers, are they in the same sector, speech pathology delivery for, let's call it remote situations? Like, again, I know this much, and by the way, listeners, I'm holding my fingers about 1 micron apart about what this is all about, but I just want to kind of tee this up so you can correct things I say incorrectly. But Teleteachers is about speech language teletherapy. What is speech language teletherapy?
Good question. As a speech-language pathologist, I can certainly answer that. Speech-language teletherapy is delivering services that help people, and in particular, children, in the case of teleteachers.
You may hear some stuff in the background. You're in Chicago, right? So there's always stuff going on in the background in Chicago. So
that's true. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm down in my bunker. So the only thing you might hear is a couple of dogs thumping around upstairs. But anyway, go on. Don't let the sound or the chaos get in the way of your story.
Oh, well, thank you. So essentially, we are delivering life-changing speech language pathology services online. So as you know, anybody would connect with a family member over FaceTime and, you know, be highly engaged in a conversation through live video conferencing, we take a spin on that. And, you know, through an encrypted platform, allow speech language pathologists and students to engage in a really meaningful way that has a significant clinical relevance and in helping them achieve their speech language and communication goals.
Okay, so let's play out a scenario just to make sure that I understand what you're talking about. Let's say that I'm a small school district in South Dakota. One, I have trouble getting people to move to South Dakota. Two, the amount we can afford to pay is significantly lower than major metro areas. Three, I'm mandated by the state to provide certain therapy or certain, I don't even know the word, but accessibility requirements for students. And part of that accessibility is that we have to make our school accessible to those who may have speech problems. So, you know, in a big school district, you hire a couple of speech pathologists and they go from school to school, or if it's a big enough school, maybe they have an office inside a big, big school and they work with students on, you know, vocal problems, whether it's a lisp or some type of, you know, better than me. But am I getting that right?
You're doing a very good job, and I was going to invite you to join my sales team.
Well, there you go. You know, because let me tell you, someone like me is, and this is not me pitching my services, but I will say that I found out early on in my career as a copywriter that my job was really to take the ununderstandable by the layperson or the person on the street and break it down in a way that people go, oh, I get it. Like speech pathology. Well, what, how, when, and how would I ever need a speech pathologist? And the answer is, I may not, but your school does, or the school that your children go to does. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So let's play out that South Dakota scenario for a second. I can't get anyone to move to Minot, South Dakota. Is that in South Dakota? Anyway, I can't get anyone to move out there with the credentials and also the pay requirements that would provide the type of top quality speech therapy that my students deserve. Would I be then in the market for teleteachers' services?
Yes, 100%. When I started my career right out of grad school, I was a speech language pathologist working in a rural cooperative in Missouri. And I was traveling 4 hours a day to see all of my students. And it was a very similar scenario to what you described. And that was actually what prompted me to discover this model and to start implementing it in a way that made sense for students. So essentially, these schools, you know, are mandated to provide this service. And further, I think that educators want to do right by kids and give them the resources they need to be successful. And teletherapy allows us to break down those barriers of location and give kids this opportunity to work with a therapist and be able to fully access their education.
That's fantastic. And I can certainly see the need, you know, without going into detail, I'll just say that my wife is involved in a public school district. And so I get a lot of table and pillow talk about shrinking budgets, more requirements, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So she personally is always looking for ways to multiply the force of her dollars, her personnel, and her time, bandwidth, and everything else. And it sounds like your product is exactly about doing that for speech, language, pathology, therapy, teletherapy.
It is. And, you know, I think that access, that benefit is further enhanced when we look at how kids are naturally engaged in technology. And simply by showing up to a therapy session that's online, there are many times when we get a better response than we could if we were walking into a classroom and, you know, trying to deliver the same service. So building on that momentum of technology in classrooms and how excited kids are to, you know, experience their learning online, it's actually a really cool and beneficial model in so many ways.
I was just watching a video of Steve Jobs talking in 1980, back when the first Apples were getting into schools. And he went to a school, I think in Palo Alto, California, that had six Apple IIs or something. And fourth and fifth graders would be bused to that school one day a week to experience the computers. And they went nuts for it. And he watched them and he said, they were more skilled on the computers than he was himself, because they embraced it. They were excited about the technology. They got past a lot of the social anxieties that can exist in a room where you've got an adult who's a stranger, who is asking you to do things that don't feel normal, you know, to you as a kid, and you might be embarrassed about. But if you put that person on that screen, it's an entirely different dynamic. And, you know, that's exactly what you're talking about, but I can totally see the value in that. This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus. Okay, now that we've laid the foundation for what Teleteachers is about, I want to talk to you about both how your personal brand and your budding Teleteachers brand are working together to take Teleteachers to the next level. Okay, so do you have active buyers of your services right now?
We do.
You're revenue positive?
We are, across several states.
Congratulations. And you are actively searching not only for districts or administrators who might want to purchase your service, but you're also reaching out to licensed, certified, or whatever they are, speech language therapists to be a part of your team. Because again, you've got a couple of cool audiences there. You got the screaming need of the school district, but you've also got the need of the speech language therapists who might prefer to work from their home for various reasons and have a palatable schedule that allows them to balance their lives in a way that supports their personal needs, wants, and desires. Am I correct there? I think I probably am.
You are.
Cool. So Teleteachers as a brand has to reach those two audiences from a brand foundation that is, I like to say, immutable, unchangeable. Ideally, that foundation never changes. Even if Teleteachers pivots a little bit, you know, 30% left, 30% right, whatever, the brand foundation doesn't change. So talk to us about how you've developed your understanding of the Teleteachers brand and how you communicate that to those two distinctly different audiences.
Great question. So I would say that this personal brand and the brand that I have now established for Teleteachers developed through my experiences over the last 5 years, even at my previous company. Because I was in a role where, you know, I was solely in charge of growth and meeting with schools and bringing in new contracts and really diving into those partnerships at the school level. Now, combine that with being a therapist and hiring on the therapist to do the work and really trying to understand the needs of both entities and how we best blend them together was something that was certainly a challenge. you know, when the world's going to this remote workforce, some say, you know, this gig economy, it provides, you know, a certain level of flexibility for therapists and, you know, you can work as many hours as you want. And, you know, that doesn't always translate to the best services for students. It can, but there's foundational values that I knew I wanted to bring into teleteachers to help bridge that gap between what exceptional services for kids meant and what it also meant to be a really happy, fulfilled therapist on the other side.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the teleteacher's gig, would you consider that part of the quote gig economy, or is it something a little bit higher than that? Because right now, like if I want to do a brand and get a logo, I go on Fiverr, I throw $50 to a guy in Bangladesh and describe what I want. And I've already picked his style because it's close to what I want to do. And then I get it back and go, none of these really work, but it's okay. It's only $50. I then go to a woman in, India and do the same thing. And oh, wow, $50 there. Got for $100, I got a logo that I love. I'm thinking that school administrators can't do that. I'm thinking there's a little bit more involved, especially when it comes to certifications or quality assurance and, you know, even the vetting of speech pathologists, because they're dealing with kids.
Right. And a lot of companies in the telehealth industry are providing contract work. So it is, in the similar style of the gig economy, you know, while still a clinically excellent service. But one of the things that is, when I created teleteachers, I knew that we had to be different in order to deliver on what we were selling to schools. And so I'm super proud that we're one of the only companies in the industry that offers salary to their teletherapists, which is important. So you don't have to be worried about, you know, if there's a tornado at your school and they don't have school for a week, you're not getting paid. You know, that risk I felt, you know, that company risk was absolutely necessary to create a brand that was focused on the best interest of students, which is our number one core value.
Right. So you've already made yourself a step above what, you know, there could be a race to the bottom with any type of structure like that, where you're trying to say, hey, we can give you quality for cheaper. That tends to be, and we can give you cheaper for cheaper and cheaper, 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 cheaper. And all of a sudden, that's a race to the bottom. It sounds like you're actually doing a step upward toward the premium tier by saying, yes, we aren't cheap. We're affordable. And there's a huge difference. And I don't know how much you know about me, but I'm a word stickler. I mean, the shades of definition of words make all the difference in the world. So when you tell someone that it's affordable, that doesn't necessarily mean absolute cheapest. It just means based on what you get for what we deliver, it's a very good value proposition. And it sounds like that's the story you're telling about teleteacher services. And it's an active, what I would call brand level choice to do that, so much so that operationally, you're taking on a huge amount of risk by bringing people on as salaried employees.
Right. And, you know, that's something that I really believe to be a sustainable company, we have to continue to prioritize competitive compensation and benefits. And that can be hard as a small company, but that's where, you know, we rely on, you know, just working hard to deliver on our services so that we can grow and offer more to the people, the incredibly talented therapists doing the work.
It sounds like you've got your fingers on the pulse of your market too, because again, based on my limited marital experience with school districts, the words risk averse come into conversations all the time, which is, yeah, this sounds great, but we can't take any risks because all we would need is to have a child who has speech therapy needs and their parent all of a sudden becomes a screaming pain in our school district if we are not providing them with the right services that are contracted and required by law. That's the key, required by law. You know, this is not a nice to have. It's a must have. And in the case of a school district, it's a must have excellent. So it sounds like you're playing that need and understanding of that need right into your brand and moving forward with it in the way you talk to people, tell your story, get them involved, et cetera.
That's definitely the goal. And this, you know, concept of districts taking on risk has been one of the biggest challenges in starting teleteachers. Coming from a pitch to schools where I was saying, you know, our company's working in over 30 states. We've done X thousands of sessions a week, you know, and really having that momentum to saying, we're a brand new company and here's why you should trust us. That's really caused me to reflect on our core values and communicate them to not only our schools, but our therapists who are also taking a risk on this new company.
Yeah. Well, they have to, the only way they're going to get what they want is if they embrace your brand and become true brand ambassadors and evangelists in the way they do things with the school districts. You know, every touch point, every engagement is a proof point of your brand and their personal brands associated with your professional business brand as well. So yeah, I say the word brand a lot, but there's a reason for it. And that is if you know who you are and you are it or are being it, you will be more successful. You'll certainly be more satisfied and you'll attract the right type of engagements. Again, you don't want the give us the lowest possible price school district. You want one that says, we recognize you aren't the lowest cost provider, but you're the highest confidence provider for us. And we're willing to pay for that. And consequently, on the other side, you've got the speech therapists who say, I want to associate it with the best. You know, a lot of people like to sell at very low margins and make it up in volume. And then there are the people who like to get what they deserve to get and then sell fewer, but get a better margin out of it. And all you have to do again is look at Apple. They own 20% of the smartphone market globally, and they walk away with 80% of the smartphone profit margin. I would much rather have 80% of the margin and 20% of the grief than, the Android guys. So it sounds like you're making that choice in a big way, and it's starting to pay off for you? Question mark?
It is. It is so exciting to see the growth of this company, you know, built on relationships that I've had in the industry, but also to see the brand coming to life. So, you know, when my team members are talking about any of the core values or as we're making a decision, they are the ones that are bringing those concepts into the decision making and they're truly living that. That's my proudest moment as a founder because it's, you know, I set the foundation and, you know, these values and, you know, to see them translating in such a positive way for our company and for the individuals that work here is awesome.
Well, and that is proof that you're doing branding the right way. When the people who work with you are actually singing the songs that you put in the company hymnal in public events or when dealing with their clients or with new prospects, et cetera, the fact that you've written those songs for that hymnal, that's hugely, hugely important. And we're going to talk about that in next week's episode, where we talk again with Emily Smith, the CEO founder of Teleteachers, a speech language teletherapy company and startup, because we talk about branding a lot here, but we don't always talk about branding from a standing start. Before we leave this episode, when did you start Teleteachers?
February 16th.
Of this year?
Yes.
Oh my God, February 16th, 2019? That's how spanking fresh Teleteachers is. So we're getting on the ground floor here, nonfiction branders, and we're going to talk more with Emily Smith from Teleteachers. And once again, for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast and Nonfiction Brandversity, I'm DP Knutton, and she is
Emily Smith.
And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.